Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Everyone, I'm very excited. Susan, you are in for a treat.
I'm so excited, you guys. I don't know if you've noticed, but Shahrzad has, you know, got us on this whole mom's view, almost like a reunion happening in each of our episodes, and I really like it because I'm getting to meet some of your friends.
You know, I miss these women. I love these women. They were such a big part of my life for a few years, and they were also a big part of my life when I became a mom, so they hold a really special place in my heart, and they all have... All the ladies are so different, which is why I really wanted to highlight them and chat with them individually. And you guys are going to just love Carly. She is gorgeous and hilarious, and she's always been really raw and open and honest and vulnerable. And she's had a huge presence on YouTube for the last, God, probably decade, creating hilarious content and workout content and beauty content and mom content and travel content and all kinds of fun stuff. So I feel like, you know, if you want to laugh and feel good, Carly is your girl.
It's my time to finally become friends with Carly.
Without further ado, Carly Wood, woo! Bring.
It's so good to meet you. I'm so excited to meet you. I've heard such great things about you.
Oh, I'm sure. Craziest of stories with this one.
Carly, I love you. You're gorgeous. How are you? How do you have three kids and you look so fucking hot?
A little bit of Botox and some lashes, and that's all you need.
Carly, I miss you so much. The last time we saw each other was at your wedding. No. It was after when I was pregnant and I came on the road trip and I saw you at your house.
Yeah, you said, oh yeah, you sat on my sofa. That was so fun. And I was like feeling like, how does Shahrzad feel about Idaho?
Oh, well, I mean, Idaho was, well, I was so excited to see you guys. And yeah. I don't think I would have driven through Idaho had I not had that scheduled to hang out with you guys when we did our reunion like 3.5 years ago. But it was pretty. I mean, there was parts that were prettier than others, but yeah, I mean, it's green and beautiful. And isn't Sun Valley, Idaho, like where rich people go skiing all the time?
Yes. Yeah. And I think Jackson Hole, I should know better.
Well, that was in Wyoming, and that was gorgeous. And that was really close to where...
It's like on the border.
Yeah. So, I mean, Idaho had a lot of pretty parts. Do you miss LA?
Yes. I mean, I love like the hustle bustle, and there's just an energy that's undeniable when you're there, you know, like in the weather, you can't get past the weather, but they're just, I don't know. There's like positives and negatives to living in Idaho. Like everyone's like busting our ass about social distancing. I'm like, are you kidding? Every one of my neighbors lives on an acre. In LA, there would be 6 houses on that amount of property. So I feel like for us right now, everybody is just always social distancing. And that's been like during this whole huge scary time, that's been kind of a nice thought, you know, like it just kind of, we're always practicing like, you know, social distancing. So, but I love Idaho. I grew up here. I'm an Idaho girl, but I feel like there's a part of me who would love to be a city girl, you know?
LA missed you. I remember having a couple nights out with you and we had some fun. That night in Chicago, we had fun.
Yes. Yeah. I've been watching, what is it on Netflix? Sunset Boulevard. Have you guys watched that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Selling Sunset.
Yes. And I just like the houses and the market and like, cause your houses, I mean, both of your houses are insanely beautiful, but I'm like, it's just so crazy with location. Cause if you were to pick up some of those houses there and put them on a lot in Idaho, you could probably buy it for like under $1 million.
Yeah.
But in LA, it's like 3 to 4 to 5 million. So it's just crazy, but those houses are beautiful.
I got to watch the second season. So how old are your kids now? Run me through what you got cooking, girlfriend.
Okay, so Cooper is my oldest. I had him when I was 20, which is crazy, my first marriage. And he will be 13 in November. And then Elliot just turned 3 in April. He just got potty trained, which has been really fun.
I'm going to pick your brain about all of that in just a bit.
Potty training, I I don't know if I know a lot, but I'll share what we did that worked. And then Lenny will be 2 in October. So I have a 13-year-old, a 3-year-old, and then she's like 20 months right now. And it's like the dichotomy of the ages is like doing TikTok dances with my teenager and like wiping butts and potty training. Like, you
know? That's like mom, that's mom life in like a little bubble.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of love it. I mean, Cooper is just like, he's the easiest teenager. He's so easygoing. Like right now, he's like, oh yeah, well, you go do your podcast. Are you nervous? I got the kids.
How has it been like sharing custody during quarantine?
That is something we had to visit. And because I feel like we're in a different place than his dad is with like our beliefs behind it all. And it's actually been easier than I thought. We had Cooper for more of the time because Cooper's dad still was working a bit. My husband, Jackson, was working from home. And so I could help more with Cooper with like the homeschooling stuff, which holy shit. When you have to do 6th grade math and you haven't done it for a while, I was like, okay, let me just use the Google machine. But it was fine. Like we just had to be really tight about communicating like where they've been and like what we're trying to do here with our rules. Elliot's a little bit immune and compromised. He has really bad eyesight and he has a virus that he gets in his eye that causes like lesions. And so we have to keep his immunity really high because as soon as he starts to get a cold, he always breaks out in these little like sores on his eye that can hurt his vision. So we've had to be really careful and just really open about, you know, where's Cooper been? We had like a whole hand sanitizing station in our garage. Like I literally would make my kids strip off their clothes, leave them in the garage, come inside, wash their hands. And I don't know if it even helps, but so far, like everything's been fine. So
good.
I didn't know about Elliot's eyes.
We're thinking what happened is someone that held him had the cold sore virus when he was a baby. And when he was like, I want to say, I don't know, 2-3 weeks old, he was getting, his eye was turning really red. And we thought it was, Jackson thought he had scratched his eye when he got him out of the car seat. Like thought he had nicked him or something. He's like, oh, I swear I poked his eye. So he took him in and they're like, oh yeah, he probably has like a sore eye. Gave us some drops to clear it up. 2 days later, it didn't go away. So then they're like, oh, it's pink eye. So we treated him for a week for pink eye and it wasn't getting better. Come to find out, they sent us to a specialist. They did some tests. It was the herpes virus on his eye. And I don't have the virus. Jackson does not have the virus. And like, it freaked me out. I was like, my kid has an STD in his eye. What? And the doctor's like, no, different. But somebody, like all we can link it to is somebody that may have held him when he was little, like had the virus in their mouth or something and kissed him and it got in his eye. And so now whatever his immunity is compromised, like if he gets a fever or if he's getting a cold, anytime that gets lowered, then he'll get sores on his eyes. And it's the worst because we have to pin him down and put this like gel medicine that's $300 a tube. And the tube's like this big. And put it in his eye 5 times a day for a week until the lesions are gone. And then long term, that's really scary because it can cause like scar tissue on his eye, which can hurt his vision. So until we can communicate better with him, we don't know what his vision is like. And he is farsighted, so his eyes cross anyways. So the glasses straighten him out, but then his eyes are so fucked up. It's kind of hard.
Oh man.
I had no idea you were going through that.
At first I cried, you know, when I'm like, my baby has to get glasses, but you know, like in the long run, there's so many more things that could have been going wrong or go wrong, but you know, you're just like mama bear comes in and it's like, you know, you freak out and you think worst case scenario and you want to protect or like you want to blame yourself. And I'm like, you know, this is going to be one of those things in his life that it's going to make him resilient and different. And you have to like zoom out and think about the bigger picture because it would be so easy to like feel bad for him, but he's the smartest little whip and he's a little spitfire and he's so smart. So
you make beautiful humans. Yeah. Poor little guy. I didn't know that.
It sucks. He does have, I mean, it does suck, but like I said, it could be a lot worse. So we are grateful, but
yeah. Well, he's got a great mama to guide him through all the hard shit that might be thrown his way when he's a kid. Yay.
Oh my gosh. And his glasses are freaking cute. And you know what's weird? When I was a little girl, I'd always say, I want a baby with glasses. I think they're so cute. Like how vague of me or like shallow to think like it's an accessory rather than like a necessity. And now I have a child who has glasses. I'm like, oh my gosh.
You manifested it.
Yeah.
How the Jerry Maguire kid.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That was the first movie Jackson and I ever watched together. And we were like, that baby is so cute. And now we have a baby that kind of looks like him, you know?
How's that? Yeah. Sixth grade math, man. That sounds really brutal. How are you handling homeschooling?
Luckily Cooper's smart and my husband's like really smart. So I just have to skirt by. I'm like, I'll just do the, like, let's wait till Jackson gets home. And then like, let's just make sure, you know, that you did it all right. And then in my mind, I'm like, why don't I remember any of this? But Cooper is smart. So far, like, I'm grateful it hasn't been like trig. That was like the one subject that did not do well in at all.
I was bad in math, period.
Yeah. I'm not a math lover. I'm like, this is why entrepreneur is the best way to go. Your boss.
Susan, you are busy. You're a busy woman. You are a boss. You've got a little guy. You got a little baby. How are you managing what everybody eats?
Well, what we eat in our house can really vary, but it was interesting because Isla was approved to eat solids at 4 months old, and my doctor and her pediatrician said, start her on purees, which I actually hadn't done with Nikash because he started on solid foods at 6 months. So the first brand that I looked into was Little Spoon. I immediately started buying all of their purees because we all know that what a child eats in his or her first years of life is really critical to their healthy development. And I just wanted to make sure that she had the right food. And I just don't have the time to go and make my own purees. It seems easy until you actually try to do it. Then you realize, no, this takes up a good amount of your time. So I really love that you can order Little Spoon. You can choose the different flavors that you get for the purees. They send you fresh batches, and then you can either pop it in your freezer or you can pop it into the fridge and it's all ready to go.
I am out of the baby stage at the moment. This isn't like a secret pregnancy announcement or anything like that, but I did give Little Spoon to one of my nieces. My niece Shayla came to visit me and I had some Little Spoon for her ready to go, and she inhaled it and I loved watching her eat. And it is so easy because it's delivered straight to your door, and Little Spoon's baby food is always made in small batches. So you're basically getting super high quality homemade food. They use over 100 USDA certified organic ingredients in a rotating menu of flavors and textures. My little nieces are obsessed. The best part is everything ships directly to your door and doesn't break the bank. It's $3 or less per meal. So no more worrying about what's in your baby's food. Let Little Spoon take one thing off your very big parenting to-do list and cover mealtime with fresh organic blends. Get 20% off your first three orders at littlespoon.com/fam. That's littlespoon.com/FAM. How have you been? Let's catch up. How's life? What's work like look like? How's life post mom's view?
I'm like,
catch me up on the last 4 years. Thanks.
I'm done. So I'm in my little makeup den, I have a she den. And we're just down here chilling. I feel like you're a Gemini.
Yeah, our birthdays are coming. You're June 5th or 6th or?
Are you the 9th or 10th?
First.
First. Oh, yeah.
First.
I'm a bad friend.
Monday.
Why are you going to party?
Oh, God. When we bought our house in November, I was like, for my birthday, I will have a birthday party / housewarming party, because I figured we'd have all of our furniture by then. And not everybody's too afraid. And, you know, even if I'm confident in where like my friends have been hanging out and what they've been doing, other people that might want to come over wouldn't necessarily be. Yeah. So I've got to just be really respectful. My brother has a baby girl and she's June 5th. So she's your birthday twin. Gonna be one. So they're coming out. I haven't seen my brother in 6 months, which is like the longest we've ever gone. And so me and my niece are having a joint birthday party. And by birthday party, I mean like my sister, her family, my brother, his family. Yeah. You know, I'm the type of person that wants to throw a massive party for myself every year. Yeah. And I'm really sad that I can't be a selfish bitch and do that.
Let's postpone. Let's postpone.
We're going to Joshua Tree because I feel like 'tis the season of the road trip. You know?
Yes, it absolutely is.
Yeah, so we're going to go to Joshua Tree, which, you know, hate to admit this out loud, but I've never been there, and it's...
Nice, so I'm going to live through close. You.
So we'll be able to just drive there, hang out in a house, and order food and, you know, watch the sunset in the hot tub and just get like a change of scenery.
Yeah.
I'm always on the go, you know? So this has just been hard. I know you're on the go too all the time, Carly and Susan. So it's just, so I'm like, all right, let's go anywhere. Let's go to Fresno. Let's go to Bakersfield. Let's go anywhere.
Didn't you just get put down on a longer lockdown?
I think I've heard this. People have been texting me about this. I can't imagine they're keeping anybody in their houses any longer.
It's so crazy how eye-opening it is, like how little things, just like going to the supermarket or like, you know, just like, you know, Cooper's baseball games that we haven't been able to do. It just is like, it's just crazy how much we need this like belly to belly social interaction, you know? And, you know, moms, like, I feel like there are some days I don't leave the house, just, you know, being a mom, and it's a blessing that I've worked from home. But I'm like, I can't imagine if you lived alone, you're away from family, like it would mentally just really, really be a trying time. And so I just, it's hard. I think there's a lot of people out there who are like the Corona police. I don't know if you guys have gotten any comments. We took the boat out, and there was a couple of people who were like, you're not social distancing. And I'm like, it's different in Idaho. And, you know, it's just been hard. But I would just like to think everyone's trying to do their best right now. But, oh my gosh, it's been so hard.
Mm-hmm. It really has been.
Yeah, I just don't think as humans we're meant to be just like locked inside. It's just too much. And now there's all these reports. I feel like, you know, there's so much misinformation, but that people are encouraging you to go outside and just to stay away from people and get your sunshine and exercise. Yeah. And that's considered like a pretty low risk activity. So
I think outside is like the best place to be, because they say the virus can die in sunlight in like less than 2 minutes. So I feel like that's like the healthiest place to be, like obviously, you know, social distancing, but I'm all for going outside.
I hate social distancing. I do it, but I hate it because Carly, I feel like you're the same. I want to touch people.
You know, I'm like, first time I met you, I probably grabbed your butt or poked your boob.
That's why we got along so well.
I like, know. Okay, like,
touch me everywhere.
Okay, sorry.
Nothing is off limits. How's your you and your hubby's relationship been? Are you guys staying? I know you staying sane, or you still like each other? What's going on?
I know I did tweet that out because I'm like, you know, I am grateful Jackson, like he has his own job, but I've been able to work so much more, which I love working. Like I love working, but I also love being a mom. So some days it's really like so confusing because I'm like, you guys are driving me freaking crazy because I want to work. And then some days I feel like I got so much work done that I feel guilty. You know, it's like that balance. But he works at a financial firm and they were meeting with clients, and a lot of his clients were like more in the high risk category because they are older. So he was ordered to work from home for like, I think it was like a little bit over a month. And we came up with the best schedule. Like he would come down in the basement and work for like 3 hours, do his emails, his phone calls, all that. And I could just focus on being a mom, making breakfast, getting everything going, activity time, and then nap time. And then literally he would come up during nap time and I'd come downstairs and we'd like tag team and switch. And I got to work like for like 3 to 4 uninterrupted hours, when usually in a work day, if he's gone at work, I have like maybe 2 hour time slot, you know, when the kids are napping. And so we came up with this awesome schedule, and I just felt like the quality time that we got to spend, like we had more sex, we cooked more food together. Like we just did, it was good for us, but I was worried. I'm like, I'm going to kill it. If I had to work with my husband, I thought that it would be a bad thing, but it was actually like so great, because I feel like he got to see more of like what I do at home while I'm working with the kids. And not that he's ever been like, you know, it's not hard. He's always given me that. But he, like, I think he truly understands how it feels to multitask, like doing laundry and answering emails and holding the baby. And I think it was good for both of us, you know? We survived. I feel like we came out stronger, and I didn't get a baby out of it, but we're trying to decide if we're done or not. I can't freaking make up my mind.
Fun.
Are we getting scoop right now?
No, okay, so I do have the IUD in, and I did have a fault. Like I thought I was pregnant because I was like a little bit late. And so we had this like moment of like, you know, you go down that road, like, okay, what's it going to look like now that we have 4 kids, 3 babies under 3, like what's this going to look like? And it felt stressful, but then it was also really weird because as soon as we looked at the test and it was negative, we both kind of felt a little like bummed out. Is that so weird? In like one hand, you feel so stressed out, like we couldn't do it. This would be a lot. I'd have to get a like a bigger vehicle for sure. And like, you know, you go down that road and then in the moment that it was negative, we both were kind of like, well, we're not having a baby. It was so weird to like travel from this extreme of emotion to this extreme and then just be in the middle and be like, well, how do we feel about this? Like, what do we want to go from here? You know,
I'm definitely not having any more.
You're both done. You feel good.
Susan's definitely done. Months ago, back when I had a life, pre-COVID, I was definitely done because I had so many trips planned and I was working out a ton. But now that I've been sitting on my ass all day, I'm like, a baby sounds actually pretty great again because I'm not doing anything, you know? I mean, I am. I'm like so immersed in mom life, I guess I should say. Like work yeah. for me is really slow. And so every now and then I think about that. But Michael is such a firm no on having another one. And he's 9 years older than me. So I get where he's coming from. You know, he doesn't want to be so much older. So I think we are done. And we have a really nice life. Our house is set up for two kids. Like everything's good. I don't know how we would even have a third. And honestly, yeah. Michael's done anyway. And he just,
No, Carly. Shahrzad's having a girl later on in life. We spoke to an astrologist, a psychic, and we did that ring test. And yeah. there is a girl that always pops up in her future, and the psychic said it was going to be later.
You can't. Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, every now and then I have a little scare because I personally don't like birth control. Like, it's never worked well for me. I've tried a lot of different kinds, and I feel like obviously if it happened, I would be excited about it. And it would take Michael a second to come around, but he's made it so clear he does not want that. So then it feels weird. You know what I mean?
She yeah. would be such a cute girl dad. Don't you?
I would be a great girl dad. He has three sisters. He's like, yes. great. And I have three nieces now, one on his side and then my babies. And I feel like my boys would be great. Very protective brothers.
Yeah.
Because of the way, Carly has three brothers, two older, one younger. But the way my boys like already protect me, like if I'm joking around with Michael and I like spank Michael's butt or say something to Michael, my boys come to my defense, like, don't do that to mommy. Even my little 3-year-old, he gets like his chest all puffed up. He's like, be nice to mommy. Mommy is your queen.
Yeah. Just wait. Because every time, whenever somebody says, if someone asks me, do I want any more kids? I'm like, firm no. There's not even a question about it. Whereas you ask Shahrzad and it depends on the day.
It really depends on the day. Like today I'm like, oh, that sounds fine.
It's like a good mom day. On a good mom day, I'm like, yes, I would love another one. On a bad mom day, I'm like, fucking tie them up. I'm not anymore.
Seriously, it's because my kids have been so sweet lately and because all we're doing now is hanging at home and road tripping, you know, like good old Americans out on the road. And so it feels like we could throw another one in the RV and just drive out into the woods. I don't know. That's how I feel.
Shrimp on the Bobby, but it's
yeah, put another shrimp on the Bobby. Yeah. So, no, if I look chubby in photos, I'm probably not pregnant. It's probably the popsicles I'm eating for breakfast every day. I eat popsicles and ice cream every fucking day.
I freaking love popsicles. You're my girl. You're my girl. I
love popsicles.
And me too.
Yeah.
You probably don't make them though, because you're like an incredible chef and like literally Martha Stewart. And all your food, you're like, I just whipped up this 9-course meal. I'm like, I just unthawed this from Costco.
You know, I really suck at baking.
That's a whole other story, but your cooking is...
I like to cook. I think my food tastes good.
But Carly, I want to hear about potty training because I had a major potty training fail during quarantine. So
well, I
want to hear.
But do you have... Okay, tell me your backstory. Do you have a boy or a girl?
A boy. So I have a boy. He's 3. He's speech delayed, which I think plays a little part in some of this because he can't communicate. Mm-hmm. all the time, like what he wants or what he's thinking. But he's also just really freaking stubborn and he refuses. He absolutely does not want to be potty trained. And we try to do like the extreme 3-day thing where we resorted to just no underwear, nothing on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And it got worse and worse and worse instead of better.
Do you guys ever get unsolicited advice from like people? Like people all the time are like, Elliot's smart. He should be potty trained, you know? So then that would get in our head. So we like started when he was like 2-ish because mm-hmm. I feel like it was more of like this social pressure of like, oh, he's not potty trained yet, you know? And so we started kind of introducing him. I bought this like Daniel the Tiger Amazon book where you like read the story and you push the things and it like, you know, tells them to wash their hands and flush the toilet. But he, like, same thing. He was stubborn. He wasn't interested. He was, like, terrified of it. And I was realizing it was creating this stressful relationship between us. And I'm like, you know, timing with every child is so different. And I don't think you can timestamp, like, when it will work out just because of an age, right? You know, like, I know that kids go through cognitive leaps and, like, mentally they, like, you know, experience things at different times. And I think that that's beautiful, because if all of us women were expected to, like, mature at the same age and start our period at the same, like, it's just so different for everybody. And so I try to just hone in on that and, like, let go of the social pressure. But I get it, because changing a 3-year-old poopy butt is way different than, like, Lenny's little poopy butt. You know, yes. It's like a man shit compared to, like,
yes. A baby poop. It's disgusting.
Yeah. We had an accident today. So we've been putting diapers on him only at nap time and at night, because he sleeps so deep. I'm like, I don't expect him to be potty trained through his sleep. And I know that he will get there, but, like, I don't want to be washing the sheets all the time. And people argue, they're like, well, if you go potty train, you go cold turkey, no diapers ever. So today he woke up a little early from his nap and he pooped and we had the talk. I'm like, you don't poop in your diaper. Like, we've gone over this. But what worked for us was just, like, really, like, the timing method. As soon as he woke up, I took him out of his diaper, put him on I got him, like, a special Amazon potty. It's nice. It just, like, folds up so you can take it on and off really easily. There's little steps so he could, like, climb up and he felt comfortable. And sitting and, like, talking with him or watching a YouTube show and just, like, letting him be in that space and be comfortable, I think helped him to realize, like, he could be in there. The timing thing worked for us. Like, literally every 15 minutes is like training a puppy. Like, even if he had to go or not, we'd go and sit on the potty. And then I got, like, a mason jar of M&Ms. And so if he went pee, he got an M&M. And if he pooped, he got two. But he also started holding his poop in for, like, 4 days because he was, like, terrified to go. So then we did, like, the rewards. Like, we'll take you to the store. You can pick out a huge monster truck. And so we did the reward thing. And honestly, it was just, like, the timing thing, just timing him, making sure every 15 minutes you take him to the potty. And then giving him a reward, I think, like, really focusing on the effort, you know, like, oh my gosh, good job. You tried to sit on the potty and not the actual, like, he went pee. But it's so hard because, like, I'm like, I didn't know boys don't wipe their penises.
They should.
After he would do a pee, there's, like, a little dribble coming out. So I'd get, like, a little square and tap his wiener. And Jackson's like, boys don't wipe their penises. I'm like, gross, why?
So my husband does, for the record.
See, good. He probably has clean underwear. So then I told my husband, like, well, where's all your pee drops falling? Because I've seen Elliot's fall into his underwear. Like, you need to be wiping. He's like, you are teaching. So I don't even know if I, like, did it right. But just over a couple of days, like, we had accidents. He peed his pants a couple of times. He also peed in my living room, just, like, right on the rug. No underwear on, just stood there and peed. And I'm like, he had peed 2 days prior perfectly, and then just stood there and was like, I'm peeing on the rug, mom. I'm like, what the freak? Like, so I don't know. I feel like it was kind of a fluke potty train because it was so back and forth. He was really resistant. He was really terrified. There was days he would hold his poop in, and then it was just, like, really, like, kids are really, they thrive on schedule. And I know you know that, but keeping that 15-minute time slot really helped us. And then just really over celebrating when they do go potty or poop or whatever, and then the M&Ms, and then once he did the poop, because that was the one thing that was really scary for him, we took him and got him a big toy, and, like, he got to pick it out and just really made it special. But sometimes it's about timing too, you know, maybe he's just not ready, or I don't know, just I've heard horror stories of, like, kids pooping and wiping it on the walls, and
oh my god,
so grateful that hasn't happened to us yet. But so far we've only had minimal accidents, but you're doing great, and I'm sure it will come, it will happen,
hopefully. I mean, I'm hoping he doesn't leave our home at 18 and not be potty trained yet.
I think he'll learn by then,
hopefully. If not, I might give him a swift kick to the butt. Get out.
At that age, you can now start to threaten without CPS getting involved. So you're
it's fine. True.
Reward doesn't work. We also do that with Elliot. I'm like, okay, rewarding him isn't working, so we're going to threaten, right? You go to the opposite end. I'm like, I'm going to throw away your car for every time you pee your pants. He literally peed and looked at me, like, got the fear of God in his eyes, ran into his room, came back out with two cars in his hands, and he's like, here, go, mommy, you can throw these away. So then I was like, okay, so threatening doesn't work with him either, because he's smart enough to know, like, take my cars, throw them away, I don't care.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel for you. I'm sure if you posted on the internet, you'd get a lot of advice about potty training. But for us, I really just think it was like staying on top of the timing segments. And just when he did go, like really celebrate it.
Got it.
How is he doing, Susan?
Nikosh?
Yeah. With like, is he just back to diapers?
He 100% welcomed the diapers right back into his world. If anything, now he helps us put them on. He's like, oh, let's make sure we get my diaper, okay? There's a diaper behind me.
Everybody's
we went through that a little bit, Elliot, like when he would have to poop, he would like, we got to put my diaper on. I have to poop. I'm like, you're literally speaking to me in full sentences about changing your underwear to your diaper. Like, I know you're mentally ready. I mean, it probably feels scary. It's like a bit of a security thing for them. And I just think like easing them into that comfort of this is okay. You're safe. Mom's right here. Like, it'll just take time, you know? Because Elliot also still has to have his binky. So that's like another thing we're working on, you know, and that just goes to show like how different all kids are, you know,
right.
He's three and he still has his binky at night. So I'm like, he's potty trained, but he still has a binky. That's kind of confusing.
It's funny you say that because the binky was way easier than I expected it to be to get rid of. He handed it to me one day. I was starting to have those conversations. I had gotten this advice to start just talking to him about it, how binkies are for babies and stuff, and he's not a baby anymore and everything. And one night he gave it to me. He handed it to me as I was having that conversation with him. And he goes, no, mommy, baby. Really? And that was it. Never again.
That's amazing. I feel like that's what will happen with you in potty training. You know, just the introduction and, you know, talking to him about that, it will happen. Don't stress. You're a good mom. You can already tell. Just because you care, some moms are like, whatever, you know.
You know, we talk a lot about our babies on FAM, For All Moms, the podcast, but there is a baby that you have been neglecting to talk about, Susan, and it's about time you talked about your firstborn.
Yeah, Mason, my dog, he is such a sweetheart and he loves to eat. And I'm so excited that we've started to give him Nom Nom because it's essentially like he's eating human food and it's really good for him. So he's obsessed with it. It's easy to get him to eat it. Unlike other fresh pet food companies, you can actually recognize what all the ingredients are in the Nom Nom meals. So you can pick out like there's carrots, there's peas, there's potatoes and eggs. It looks like something I would eat. And in fact, when it arrived, the delivery arrived, my husband put it away for me. And when I saw it in the fridge, I actually thought it was something I ordered for us to make. So it's really human food, but for your dog, and they get all of the quality ingredients that you would want for your own meal. So it's made from restaurant quality, USDA grade ingredients, and it's amazing. And Mason just absolutely loves it. And I'm glad that, you know, he was getting a little bit chunky. Actually, he was gaining some weight during all of the self-quarantine stuff. And so this is so much better for him because it's, you know, a nutrition first approach to wellness.
I can't believe the quarantine 15 hit Mason too. Dang. Switch to fresh pet food that's backed by science. Try Nom Nom today and you'll get 50% off a 2-week trial. Go to trynom.com/fam. That's trynom.com/fam for 50% off a 2-week trial. And then you can have a happy doggy like Mason.
It's freaking hard to be a mom. Can we just talk about that?
Yes.
It's so hard. And you have an almost teenage boy and then two little ones. It's just crazy.
I know.
Literally, Cooper, he was at the skate park and some kid offered him marijuana.
Ooh, let's
What? Look. Already happening? Yes.
And, I mean, I got high at 12.
You?
I love you. I did too.
I did everything that you could possibly think of by the age of 13.
Well, okay, I love you so much. Well, I thought
Let's talk about it because I know you don't really smoke weed. I don't know if you ever have, and if you don't want to mention it, you don't have to, but how are you parenting an almost teenager who's getting weed offered to him?
Thinking of my pre-mom self, like, what will I do when my kids get offered drugs? That would be so scary. But like, he called me and he was so like, yeah, we're going to come home early. Some guy at the skate park offered us weed. And like, something is broken inside of me where I literally have no filter. You probably can tell. And so just kidding around, I was like, well, did you tell him that your mom has way better dank weed at home? You don't need this weed, which I don't. I've never smoked weed in my life. I would tell you. And he just was like, mom. So then it was just kind of like, I think I use humor as a buffer in like intense situations or just always I use, try to use humor. And so we like had that opportunity to have that talk. I'm like, well, I'm really proud of you because I'm sure sure that might have been hard if he like seemed older and like was pressuring you and he was cool about it. Like, I'm grateful you feel like you can tell me. That makes me feel good. It's just crazy because then, you know, like I hang up the phone, like talking about not doing drugs with my kid. And then like Lenny's like sticking your hand down her diaper trying to eat her poop. And I'm just like, what is my life right now?
That's a lot. That's impressive that he told you.
I know. I felt really grateful. I felt like, you know how it's so hard to give yourself credit as a mom? Because we're always thinking about like, well, what haven't I done or what could I do better? And I, in that moment, I had like a small, like, makes me teary, but I felt like, okay, I've done something right. When my kids can come and be honest with me, that's all I ever want, you know?
Yeah.
Especially the hard shit.
Yeah, there's so much hard shit. I was just a crazy 12-year-old smoking the doobies, but I do remember the first time somebody offered me drugs, and it wasn't even weed. I was 11, and I looked a lot older when I was 11. Truly, I know this scares every girl mom out there that I looked, when I was 11, I easily could have passed for 16. Yeah. And somebody said, do you want to fry? And I was like, I'm not really sure what that is. Keep in mind,
their french fries, they're so good.
This is the 90s, and I knew it wasn't a french fry that they were offering me. And I was so confused, and I didn't have, obviously, Google to be like, what the fuck is, what does it mean to fry? And I didn't know. And for, I feel like months and months went by, and it was like at this, like, near this coffee shop that I grew up next to, this little shopping center where I think I like had gotten out of a dance class, and some older guy was like, hey, do you want to fry? And I was like, I don't know what's going on, but like, you're really cute. So like, should I say yes right now? But anyway, it was acid. And thank God I didn't take it from him, because I was still
a hard first step into the world, right? I've never done acid, but I can assume that'd be a first intense experience if you're going to do a drug.
That would be a really intense drug to do for your first time. I have done acid. I've done it quite a few times, not in the last like 15 years. But it's trippy, man. It's a really intense drug.
Like, shame on this man. Like, that's just,
yeah.
You know, like, that's the part. It's not my kids.
Sure, so it's like, shame on this man that I went and I made out with afterwards, though.
I may have waited about a year and a half to date him, but, you know, whatever.
I knew that was the face you were making. I know you.
There's no judgment here. I just think, you know, now that I have a little girl, I'm like, I would literally murder. I'll murder. I'm sure if I ever end up in prison, which I don't want to because I watch a lot of shows, and I would probably for sure be someone's bitch, because I don't know. I couldn't say no to anyone. I just like think about Lenny, and I'm like, she's so tender and like precious, and I'm like, I could see myself ending up in prison if anyone ever messes with my kids.
Oh, having a girl breaks you. Yeah.
Cooper is like into the text messaging world, and the girls are the aggressors, hands down. Like, we want to blame men or whatever, but like, no, like, this is a turn of events. Like, the girls are the ones, like, I grew up being like, the boys chase you. You tell them no. Like, they make the first move, but no, the roles have flipped, and I'll be reading through Cooper's text messages. I'm like, damn, someone needs to teach her a little bit of game. Not like bad. I haven't found anything bad, thankfully, yet, but I've just been so, I thought I was young and hip and with it. I guess you're not young and hip if you say the word hip. I've learned that. The girls are like the ones going after Cooper and his friends. And, you know, when I grew up, that makes me sound old, it was not like that.
I'm the same too. I was like, chase me, chase me, chase me. I am never coming after a boy. Like, there was this book that mom gave me. It was the what was it called? The Rules. You were like a rules girl. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Sort of, yeah. No?
Anyway, it was a book about like the rules on how to get men. And it was just like, never go up to a man. I mean, you know, people should do whatever makes them comfortable, but that's a whole interesting thing to navigate, because you have a very handsome 12-year-old boy who's athletic and has, yeah, he's going to have lots of girls after him, I feel like.
He's already had like a couple heartbreak stories, and it's been so hard for me. Like, yeah, and I'm not saying, I think it's cool. Like, if a woman has enough confidence to be the one to make the move, like, make the move. I'm not saying there's any roles on anything. It just, only speaking to when I grew up, it just feel like I had older brothers, and they kind of ingrained that in me. Like, the boys hit on, you know? And so now, just when things are like, I look at it now, and I'm trying to help coach Cooper through these like, you know, times with girls texting him, and he asked a girl to a dance and like saved his money up to get their pictures taken together. Like just things like that, that I don't know. It's just such a different world. And I'm like, okay, Cooper's 12, but I've got 10 more years until Elliot goes through this again. And I'm just like, what's going to change again? And again, you know what I'm saying? Like the wheel is always changing, and it's just hard as a mom to keep up with it all. And so my only thing is like, I just want my kids to be honest. And I want to be like, not the cool mom that doesn't have consequences, but just like, they trust me, you know, like, isn't that the best feeling when your kids like can confess to you and they're like, mom's not going to freak out and I can be honest with her.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I can help you. You know, if you would have gotten high with at the skate park with that guy, I try to think of like what I would have done. And I don't think I would have necessarily been mad, but it would have been a great topic conversation for like, what could lead from there, you know? And just having my mind in that place was like, oh my gosh, this is like happening. My kid is growing up, you know?
How's Jackson and Cooper's relationship? I mean, I know Jackson briefly through you and through your YouTube and Instagram, and obviously he's an incredible man. How is that relationship?
So like, I feel like the moment I kind of like really like sealed the deal for me with him was we were riding in his car, and he like, I hadn't brought up Cooper a lot because I don't know, it's really hard to date in general. Can you guys imagine dating again? Like, oh, I'm so grateful I don't have to do that.
I wouldn't be dating. I would just be banging.
Yeah. Oh yes. I know. So slutty, right?
I wouldn't even bother with the dating part. This isn't going to be a long lasting relationship, sir.
Oh, it just emotionally, it's so toxic. And then doing it with a child, you know, because it's like, you want to date me, but then I don't want to like, be like, hey, I'm a mom. I don't know. It's just, it was a hard world. So we're riding in his truck, and we'd only been dating like a couple months, 2 or 3 months. And he like leaned over and was like, hey, I just want you to know, like, I know you don't talk about your son a lot, and I know you're just trying to get to know me and you want me to get to know you before that next level. But I grew up with a stepdad. And if it wasn't for my stepdad, I wouldn't be the man I am today. And I just want you to know, I'm really comfortable with the whole situation. And I'm really like looking forward to the day that I get to meet him. Like it doesn't like, kind of like it doesn't scare me away. And I know, I just was like, take off my pants. I love you. In that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, that's like what I had wanted to hear. Not from like every guy, but that's like kind of like the phrase I was looking for. And then like the more I got to know Jackson, he did go through a lot when he was a little kid, and then his stepdad raised him. And so I knew he was ready before he even met Cooper. You know, he had kind of been trained for it because that was his childhood. Mm-hmm. So coming into it, I also love that Jackson was like, I'm not trying to be dad. He has a dad in his life. They have a relationship. Like, I'm not trying to be dad. I want to be whatever Cooper wants me to be. I'll be a role model. I'd be a good example. I'll set the rules. I won't treat him differently than I treat our kids, but I'm also not going to come in and be like, call me dad. I'm your dad. You know? So he's just, I feel like because he went through the things he went through, he knew like how to handle the situation. And honestly, we've been so lucky because they just get along great and they have such a great respect for one another. And Jackson really respects Cooper's dad. And like, knock on wood, it's just all the shit I ever went through to get to this point, it worked out, you know? And I know that's not the experience for every mixed family, but for us so far, it's been pretty smooth, and I'm grateful. Because it's awesome. A lot of drama. Divorce is a lot of drama, you know?
I know. Yeah. I'm so happy for you, Carly. I'm so happy for your life, and I wish we saw each other in person more. I will drive to Idaho again to see you guys.
Okay, well, maybe I'll just come to California because it's way better there.
Definitely come.
Things to do. No, I love Idaho, not to like shit on Idaho, but we always talk about like, what if we moved to California? Just like a little, you know, some cute house in the valley or I don't know, just beautiful, beautiful place.
Do it. Come visit. Yeah, if you come here anytime, holla at your girlfriend.
Oh yeah, I'd love to get together with you guys. It's so much fun. I just, I was watching one of your guys', Susan, you were talking about the Kenzie IPL handset review. And I was just like, these guys are just like girls that you just want to sit down and kick the shit with. And they're just, you know, like OG girls you just like love. I love you guys.
We have a good time. We love you. I'm so glad I finally got to meet you. Charzada said so many amazing things about you. So I was like, when we were getting on the call, I was like, have I met Carly before? Because I feel like I know you from some of her stories.
she's the freaking best. We love her. Oh my gosh. Do you remember when we first filmed the Mom Zoo and you were like, I can't do this. This is so hard. And then you ended up being everyone's freaking favorite. And everyone's like, the show can't continue without Sharzi.
That's because people hated my guts so much in the beginning. I got so much hate. That was crazy to get that much hate straight out of the gate. I didn't mean to rhyme, but it kind of sounded fine. And then, you know, it was nice that that the tables eventually turned, but people just, I think in general, are resistant to change. And since I was new and the show had been around without me for a while before, and then I came on, everyone was like, fuck you, die.
So crazy, you guys, like, isn't that crazy that like you can just experience so much hatred with people you don't know? Blows my mind. Like, there's a lot of people online I don't know, but my mind just never goes to this place where, like, I'm gonna send them a DM and really just tell them how I feel.
I know, Carly. I know you've gotten a lot of crazy hate too, and I feel like between the three of us, we could talk for so long about the mean, stupid, fucking comments that we've gotten. And I would say, I can confidently say that the three of us have never ever tried to go piss anybody off ever. We're just trying to like share life and things that we've learned and things that make people happy and smile and to just be ourselves. And yet people come for blood, and it's just crazy.
Susan, I don't know you, but I feel your transparency. Like, I feel like you're a genuine good person and woman. And it's crazy to me to like have those experiences where I'm like, people don't really know you, but they feel like they can know you or make these judgments. I don't know. So it's just, internet. It's a beautiful, beautiful blessing, but it's also freaking crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
I brought that up because I was going to say, like, a part of me understands how you felt, because I feel like I get looped in with Paulette and Kaylee, and we know that they're like the most sweetest, authentic, genuine, tender, quiet women. And then you have me, whose sister's with them. And I feel like people want me, or they assume that I should be like them. And so when I'm like the outspoken one, or I cuss, or people, like, it's like abrasive against what Colette and Kaylee are. And so I also in turn have felt like the Mom Zoo wasn't a good fit for me. And like when we took the show on and you like came, you know, when you were traveling and you were here, like there was a lot of times where I was like, I just want to quit because I don't feel like I fit in. Like, and these are my sisters. So I just remember, like, I was so proud of you for like sticking through all the freaking silly hate that was, I feel like it was just, I don't even know where it came from. And then literally you ended up being the favorite, because who doesn't love you when they meet you? Who doesn't love you when they meet
you? I love you. I miss you so much.
I do hate that you have like the most perfect skin and no pores. Like every time I see you, I'm just like, what the fuck is she doing? Tell me your secrets.
Well, I listen to everything that Susan Yara says.
Susan says it, I swipe up. I'm like, it's a swipe up. I'm influenced. Susan's wearing it, I swipe up.
If anybody ever says anything nice about my skin, it's all because of my relationship with Susan.
Well, Sharzad's always down for any treatment. She's like, yes, I'll do it. Well, unless it starts to sound scary. Lately, sometimes things get scary, but she's down for like a good treatment.
Are you guys getting into more like crazier, like I feel like you guys have the dream job. Like I would love to just like any beauty treatment. Did you watch, is it the Goop or the whatever with?
Yeah, on Netflix.
Goop. Yes. And like they literally took their idea, because that's what you guys do. No, they did take their idea.
They did. So many people text me and they were like, so Goop is just like the SAS, but with like a much bigger budget. And I'm like, yeah. Well, hey, okay. Netflix, we were available.
Are we gonna go to Costa Rica and do like the mushroom doping, you know, or what's it called? Are we gonna all?
Let's do it. I'm down for that trip.
I'm in. Okay. Well, I'm gonna end this, but it's just temporary until we meet again.
All right, you guys have a good one. I love you.
Love you. Bye, Carly. Okay. So. She's fabulous, right?
Awesome. She's not at all what I expected. I mean, I think I expected fun for sure, but I was like, wait, she's definitely fun. Like, why haven't I actually been out with you guys before?
I know our worlds never collided because she's been in Idaho and, you know, there was about maybe a 6-month overlap of when I was shooting the Mom's You and started shooting the SAS. And then they pretty much moved right after that.
And yeah, so otherwise, honestly, we would have a blast together.
We would have so much fun.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. And if you are enjoying it, leave a review. And that's it. Have a good one.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.